Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Or I don't know. We should link it to the. Somebody should post on. I have the. Do you have the link?
Yeah. I will send you the link. You do that. In the meantime, send I want to welcome everybody in because we are live now on this recap. Oh my God. Really aggravating game. Really annoying game. Sucks to come up short like that. But what are you going to do, man? We've seen this story 3 games in a row now. No OG, no Randall. A lot of stuff falling on Brunson's shoulders. And the Heat obviously doubled and nearly tripled him a bunch of times this game. Wasn't easy for him to get a shot off. And when he did get a shot off, he missed a couple easy looks he usually makes. It is what it is. You know, for every 60-point night, he'll have an off night like this, and it'll cancel out. With that being said, Jeff, what are some of the thoughts that you want to get off for this game?
I'm probably not going to be the most popular post-game reactor tonight because I feel like people are really mad, and I'm just like the same as I was after the last game. I just don't think it matters. I don't think anything that really happens without Randall and OG matters because they're pretty much I shouldn't say locks. Of course, if they lose out, that would be bad. But so there are 2 games up in the loss column on Miami and Indiana right now. 2 games up entirely. It feels unlikely to me that they're going to fall into the play-in, but their schedule is tough down the line. My point being, unless they fall into the play-in, which would not be good because that means they're going to get one of Milwaukee or Boston in the first round, which is a tougher first round matchup than the rest of the teams. I don't really care what their seeding is as long as they get healthy in the playoffs. If they can get healthy in the playoffs, I think they can beat anyone with or without home court. I know there was a time, you know, a week or so ago, it looked like they could have gotten the 3 seed. I was right there with you. This is disappointing, but for the 3rd straight game, you know, they're fighting, they're hanging in there, and sometimes you just lose close games. Like, I know that's boring analysis, but sometimes you lose close games, and that's especially going to happen when you're playing without your 2nd and 3rd best player, as shitty as that is. That's just – and we should be proud, honestly. Like, we should be proud of the team for
– the comeback.
The amount of things that tipped in the Heat favor. Like, that was by the way, that was the funniest response to your tweet. Some guy responded to you and was like – the only reason the Knicks were in this was because of their shooters. The Heat absolutely blasted the Knicks in the shot quality department. Like if you were to, there's just no way. Like, what game is that person watching? The Heat hit like 70 shots. They were just like, what the fuck was that? Oh, went in. Terry Rozier had like the game, not of his life. Obviously, he had some great games in Charlotte, but definitely the great game of his Miami career so far. Yeah, I mean, the Knicks were down, like, they got shot quality to death. Miami ran super good on their 3-pointers. Mm-hmm. The Knicks, you know, short OG and Randall, and they just fought, man. And that's something as Knicks fans they should be proud of. Hung in there against, as everyone knows, you know, a good team. Yeah, I don't – probably boring analysis, but I just don't think it's that huge a deal of a loss. I think it would have been way – like, if the Knicks won that game, what do you do if you're the Heat, honestly? Like, if they beat you in Miami after you're up double digits again, and, like, you have those Knicks fans in your building chanting, let's go Knicks, and then they're also without OG and Randall, like, that – it was basically a free-roll game for the Knicks, and they just came up short. That's okay.
Yeah, I definitely pull this card more than you do, but – up until like 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter, I thought this was even more lopsided than the Spurs game in terms of officiating. I don't know where you fall in that spectrum, but I thought this was real bad. Like, I thought
I didn't think about the refs at all tonight. So
people, really,
yeah, I told you I'm not going to be popular, but yeah, no. I thought the Knicks got away with a ton of contact on the defensive end too. So. I know there were – I'm not saying there weren't missed calls. Of course there were missed calls, but I imagine there were more missed calls than you know, Knicks fans would want to believe on the other end of the court. I mean, maybe. I don't know. I don't – that stuff doesn't interest me too much. There's no way it was worse than the Spurs game, dude. What? That's crazy. Like, that's crazy. That was one of the worst things I've ever seen.
Maybe not, because when you talked about the Spurs game, you brought up the refs, and that was like my barometer, or I was like, all right, this is like really, really bad. And so if it didn't stick out to you like it did to you in the Spurs game, then I'll rescind that. But I do think that they controlled a lot of the momentum in the first half, at least, like between the no call on the Brunson, when Brunson got pushed off of by Caleb Martin. I think that was actually in the third quarter, not the first half. But yeah, then there was
that was a big swing for sure.
Yeah,
there was like a 3-play swing. It was like it should have been a charge on Martin. And then they went down, and it should have been a foul. Deuce got fouled and said they called him for traveling.
Yes, travel.
And then they went down the other end, and they gave Butler like less contact than Deuce just took. Like it was basically the same thing, except they gave Butler the call. That was definitely a significant 3-call stretch. I just don't think this game came down to reffing. As near, definitely not compared to the San Antonio game. That San Antonio game was a fucking joke. Like I know I wasn't on here. That was just insane. Like if somebody came from above and was like, yeah, the refs had money on San Antonio, I would be like, of course they did. This game, it almost just seemed like they didn't, like the refs just seemed bad. I love when Tibbs is like furious at the refs. It's so funny. It's funny every time. He's so mad.
And he has that scowl on his face.
Oh yeah. Oh man. You can see why the guys go to war for that guy. He's so fucking mad.
The Heat fans really think they're doing a number on me, bro. I promise you, I don't care.
They're crushing you.
I promise. I really don't give a shit.
I will say one thing. And again, I mean, I'm not trying to like throw you under the bus here. I thought Haywood Highsmith did a much better job than you're giving him credit for in that tweet of yours. I thought he was excellent defensively tonight.
I also think
he had Bam on the back line, and of course we're gonna get to this later when we get to your comments, because I did have one major takeaway from this game, and it's about Josh Hart. So I do think that they had Bam on the back line, and they had a defender ready to stunt at all times off of Josh Hart. Of course Jalen Brunson's life was more difficult than it would be if they were healthy. I agree with your point there. I just also think that Haywood Highsmith got put in some one-on-one positions, and he did well, well above average compared to the relative defender, relative to the average defender.
I don't disagree with that at all. It's just one of those situations where, like, because we can sit on up here and be like, but he had Bam on the back line, and that guy's nothing, so maybe lets him play more free. Because we're talking about the game, other people are just going to see it as, oh, Brunson shot whatever percentage with Haywood Highsmith guarding him, you know, and that's obviously where the thing originates from. So it's just the nature of the beast, especially on Twitter. But like Miami they had him on their bench for what, 2 years? And now down the stretch in this, is it 2 years shorter?
Oh no, I wasn't shaking my head at what you were saying. I was shaking my head at the point you were making, which is like, you're exactly right. It's just ridiculous. They just find these guys. It's just super impressive what they do. I mean, they just every year it seems like they find someone. I know Highsmith was kind of good last year. Like he played some good defense at least last year, but
much bigger.
That three he hit was actually was the backbreaker. Like the Knicks tied it up. And that just didn't have to go in. Like he's been shooting well recently, but it was semi-contested, and it was just a really impressive game by him. But I don't think the people came here to hear us talk about the Heat. So let's get some comments and let's talk about the Knicks. I will say, and if you're waiting to comment or whatever, I just think the only takeaway that really matters is like, what the fuck are the Knicks gonna do? Even if they're healthy, when the Heat decide Josh Hart being on the court doesn't scare them. Because if he's on the court and he plays like he did tonight, and it's not just the fact that he refuses to shoot. It's that when he's spacing, sometimes he doesn't even space. He like starts his cut early and removes the space. It's like reverse gravity. And yes, a few times tonight he made kickouts and made passes on cuts that were good. But the general and macro impact that his presence has is a negative offensively when the Heat defend him like that, if he's not going to exploit it more. And he wasn't exploiting it tonight. And it wasn't UConn, but somebody, I saw somebody point out that DiVincenzo didn't come back in until late. Yeah. And to be honest, I can't blame Tibbs for that, because in Tibbs' mind, the things Josh Hart does well completely override the negatives. And so when Boyan is playing like that, and you don't want to be like, oh, Boyan, thanks for playing like that, we're just going to pull you after like 5 minutes, and you need Brunson out there, I don't know what, like, is he supposed to pull Deuce, who's having a phenomenal night? I don't. And so that's gets back to the point that I'm trying to make, is like, in the playoffs, when the Knicks are fully healthy and they have more than just one guy who needs to be out there, that's Jalen, that's OG, and that's Randall. If Josh Hart is playing like this and the Heat are defending him like this, there needs to be an acknowledgement that, like, okay, there are better options immediately, because the Knicks are elite fully healthy, but they're not a perfect team. And that is going to be where opponents attack. I can almost guarantee it.
So I haven't watched the clip because I'm obviously on here, but supposedly Tibbs actually kind of spazzed on the refs after the game. I haven't watched the clip. I haven't heard it or nothing, but that's just what came across my timeline. So
nice.
With Josh Hart, man, like, it's not something that I like want to be saying, because Josh Hart is, to take a soccer term, he plays for the badge every single night. Like, he leaves everything out there. You understand why Tibbs loves him. You understand why Tibbs plays him as much as he does. But against the Heat, one of the tweets that I put out, I don't know if you saw it or not, was when you're playing them, all five guys need to have on-ball skills and decision-making skills. And we all know Hart's not a great shooter, but I also think sometimes he really lacks feel. Like, and in situations like we saw it against the Spurs, running the fast break with Dante and he throws an alley-oop. Stuff like that, it's like, come on. So while he didn't have the ball too much in his hands today, that decision-making part that I put in was more of a Mitch Robb thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think when you're matching up with the Heat in the playoffs, it's tough to justify, like, having those all-bench lineups that Tibbs, like, is okay going with. Because if you throw out Deuce, Bogey, Hart, Burks, and Mitch Robb, it's not going to go well. There's not enough shooting between Mitch Robb being out there with Josh Hart, and then there's not enough ball handling between Deuce, Hart, and then you're going to have, what, Burks running offense? I mean, it's scary. Even for 8 minutes, it's scary.
So he won't do that. He won't go to a 10-man. But even to your point, like, one of OG or Randall with Deuce, Hart, Boyan, and Mitch is still kind of scary, especially OG, like, because they'll lack, like, to your point, they'll lack offense. Now, to be fair, Deuce, OG, and Hart all playing together, like, I don't know if other bench units are going to score too much, so it's not like it's going to get super out of hand, but I still agree with your sentiment that there needs to be more staggering to keep more than one starter in the game. They're going to struggle without Brunson. Like, they just are. Like, that's, like, Brunson is unique. He has separated himself from the pack in terms of offensive impact on this team. That's okay. Like, the Knicks aren't the only team. Like, I hate this expectation that, like there are actually people out there who are, like, criticizing Leon Rose for not having constructed the team as such that they don't have a someone who can be like Jalen Brunson when Randall and OG Anunoby are hurt. And it's like, dude, like, what are we talking about here? Like, no team is built to survive this. There is no roster in the league that could survive their second and third best player getting hurt and then survive the minutes without their best player. That's fucking insane. Like, that's just, that's not a real thing. And we just all need to calm down, because this Knicks team, we've seen enough that, like, the core they have right now is really, really good. Like, top five team in the league, really good. And that's why I'm so just, like, not, like, happy. I'm not, of course, I'm not happy they lost, but I'm just almost indifferent, because it's like, we know what the team has. So let's just get to that. Please, just let that happen this season, because I'm so confident that this team can play with anybody if they get healthy. And so it's just like, yeah, let's fast forward to that, please.
Yeah, I agree with that. Unfortunately, I don't know if we're going to have that timeline to fast forward. Yeah.
I thought also, Con, I loved what you said, how you opened your comments about Josh Hart with the positives. Because, like, we live in such an extremist society these days where, like, if you say one thing, if it's negative, that means you only mean the negative thing. And, like, I hope it's not taken. What I said isn't taken as I don't have an appreciation for Josh Hart, the basketball player. I don't understand the good things that he brings. I do. But I think that Tibbs sees him through this extremist lens where the positive things are the only thing that matter. Like, he's like, oh, I can't live without Josh Hart's size at the point of attack, or I can't live without Josh Hart's rebounding from the wings. And it does. He doesn't fully mentally capture how the other team can exploit Josh Hart when he's on the court, especially when he's playing like shooting guard and he's the weak point. And I was only pointing out that, like, if the Knicks get healthy and they match up with Miami or Boston, these smart teams that have, you know, super smart scouting departments, you know, they believe in analytics, Josh Hart is going to be the focal point like he was tonight. Like, you could run through this game back tonight. Every possession is a domino effect that almost starts with Josh Hart. It's like his defender is waiting for, if any mistake happens, that is the first domino to fall. It's like, okay, I can leave Josh Hart because he's not going to make us pay. And that's what we've seen it enough. That's what he does. Like, did he even shoot a three tonight? He shot one three, right? Or two?
I think he shot, I thought he shot one max. I don't remember.
He shot zero. Dude, yeah, okay. He played 46 minutes tonight. 46 minutes tonight against a team that was ignoring him. And he shot zero threes. That can't happen. Like, that should be impossible. That's so harmful to team offense. I didn't even realize it was that absurd.
The problem is, and I'm sure if I didn't cut you off just now, you probably would have gotten into it. But the problem is, their game plan is, we're going to see if Josh Hart can beat us. And in taking zero threes in 46 minutes, you're not even testing the game plan. You're putting up the white flag from the minute, you know, the ball is tipped off to start the first quarter. Right. So if you're gonna shoot none, then I don't know. Hang out in the dunker spot, dude, because it's just like you said. It makes everything harder. And if you start off and you take three or four in the first half and you go 0-3, 0-4, hey man, you want to take none the rest of the way? I get it, but you have to test it out at least. And he didn't do that. It's been a gripe for a while with him, but in a real series with the Heat, with a healthy OG, with a healthy Randle, what does he play? 18 minutes? 20 minutes? So
I don't know. But this is what I'm saying. I'm still like, look, maybe it's like the pessimist in me or the nervous fucking Nelly in me. Can you not see a world where Tibbs is like, we need Josh Hart out there and he prioritizes him over DiVincenzo, like down the stretch of close games, like, and he's the one closing because we need his rebounding, and like that scares the shit out of me, man. Like, and we're talking about a fully healthy Knicks team that doesn't have many weaknesses, that has two all NBA offensive engines, that has an MVP candidate in Jalen Brunson, that has guys like DiVincenzo and OG who are snipers from three, has all the defense and shooting that you can want. That's going to be the point where that's going to be the focal point for opponents where they attack. And to be honest, I'm not 100% convinced that Tibbs has it in him to be like, well, Josh Hart is hurting us. So like, yeah, we're going to see if he has it on every given night, but if he doesn't, it's a quick hook, you know, because yeah, I don't want to be too negative. Like, it's just, especially like you said, like Josh Hart is given us so much, and it's just games like this are frustrating, man. Like, and he only shot one three against OKC. Games like this are frustrating because we've seen it. Like that second Philadelphia game, if I recall correctly, he was 1 of 6 from three in the first half. And I just remember being so encouraged by that. Like, Philadelphia, Nurse is another really good coach, and Nurse treated Josh Hart the exact same way. And he was just like, fuck it. Like, if you're going to leave me open all the time, I'm going to at least shoot. And that opened up so many more things, his willingness to shoot. Because, look, these defenders are human. they're not just going to, like, once they see you start to shoot, they're not just going to keep letting you take empty gym threes. They're eventually going to start rotating. And if you go back and watch that game, the impact just him being willing to shoot had on those rotations were immense. But Miami never even had to make that adjustment tonight because he never even attempted a shot. Yeah. So it was just they got to stay in their comfortable game plan the entire night. And look, that's okay on a night tonight. Like tonight, he's going to play. But people who watch the show and have seen me on the show know that I'm such a macro thinker. I think that's the only real takeaway I can have from this game is that, like, if he plays like that in games that matter when the Knicks are fully healthy, he just can't be allowed to do that. I'm sorry. Like, he needs to either shoot more, or if he's unwilling to shoot because he's not comfortable or he lacks confidence, he needs to be more aggressive exploiting the amount of space he's given, because it's hurting his teammates when he's out there and he plays like this.
Yeah. Just to kind of end off on more of a positive note before we get to some comments. There was some talk about Dante's playoff numbers from the time that we signed him to the mid-level that I remember that conversation, and people started bringing it up again after the OKC game. Not much more of a playoff atmosphere in the regular season than this game. It's hard to replicate the juice that was in the building, and he delivered, man. Like, athleticism, shooting, finishing, everything on display. Ridiculous game from him. Ridiculous game from Deuce. Not as much as Dante, but still, obviously, you want to show him a lot of love. Five threes for Deuce, or four threes, something like that.
Four.
But, you know, the shooting is very, very legit. And there's just not a lot that I can say about those two guys that hasn't been said. Just absolute warriors. I don't know what the minute count was, but I'm sure it was sky high again.
Deuce played 45, Hart 46. DiVincenzo only played 35. Yeah. Look,
he got robbed that one time by Ben.
Yeah, he did. Incidental contact, Con. Bam doesn't mean to keep taking Knicks out. He doesn't mean to. Props to Tibbs again. Brunson only played 36 minutes. If I have any hope that Tibbs is going to be able to fight the inner demons, it's seeing what he's doing with Brunson right now. Yeah. Because you know that somewhere inside of him exists somebody who wants to play Brunson 45 minutes a night, who's dying in these non-Brunson minutes. And, like, all he wants to do is just have Brunson out there all the time. And he is prioritizing having Brunson healthy in 2 weeks over, you know, whatever marginal edge Brunson playing 42 minutes a night versus playing 36 minutes a night would give him. And I think, you know, hats off to Tibbs for making that decision, because I do think it's for the greater good of the Knicks to let Brunson get some semblance of rest.
Yeah, I think that's probably the extent of the stuff there's to talk about for this game.
We didn't say anything about Boyan. He deserves a shout out.
Oh,
having a decent game.
Yeah.
I thought he fought defensively. I don't think he was good defensively, but I thought he fought.
Yeah.
And he saw some shots go in, still not seeing threes go in, but hey, I mean, he was 5-6 from inside the arc, 16-6 on 10 shots. I mean, look, we're nitpicking here, but I thought it was interesting that Tibbs, after the first half, didn't put him in the entire third quarter. I thought that was, I don't know. I just don't get stuff like that. That doesn't seem like a basketball rotation to me, but I mean, what do I know?
Tibbs has been so good this year that I'm going to choose to ignore that.
Yeah, no, that's a good call. And that actually reminds me of what I was going to say about your DiVincenzo point. Dude, he's on a deal. He's on one of the best contracts in the NBA. 4 for 50 right now for DiVincenzo.
I think it's like not to nip. I think it's like 4 for 47. Like Leon.
Even better. Yeah, great. Even better. Great. For all I care, he could suck again in the playoffs. I'm happy he's on our team. He's absolutely blown away my wildest expectations. Everybody who watches this show knows how much I love Emmanuel Quickley. He's basically, I mean, the Knicks traded Quickley and RJ for OG Anunoby, but these are things that people don't factor into these trades. They also kind of traded for Dante DiVincenzo in the sense that his role was allowed to be expanded after quickly and RJ were out the door. His minutes were more guaranteed, and he has very much stepped up to the plate and been amazing this year. So, like,
and to some extent, traded for Deuce McBride in that trade too.
Yeah, exactly. That's a great point. And Deuce has been amazing too. And 3-point shooting at the end of the day still has a ton of volatility. There's still a ton of variance. I don't know. I'm going to be pushing back pretty strongly against people if DiVincenzo has like a cold streak in the playoffs and they're like, oh, he's not playoff ready, or like, dude, like, fuck that. That's terrible.
I was going to say I can't wait to have like those conversations, but I realize that's an oxymoron. Is that an oxymoron? I can wait to have those conversations because they'll be so stupid and just mind-numbing.
Yeah.
Before we get into the comments, I do have an ad read for us. I know everybody's favorite part of the Rundown is the ad reads. So, Bet Online, our trusty sponsor, you guys have heard us talk about them all the time on here. Bet Online is your bracket headquarters for this season, with the best bracket contest out there and all odds, lines, and info on every game for every round right up until the national championship. You can access the most up-to-the-minute wagering information anytime from a desktop or mobile device and even track your bracket in real time all the way through the tournament. So head over to BetOnline today and get on all the action. Remember to use the promo code BELEAVE, capital B-L-E-A-V, for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here. And I do want to give a reminder to everybody about our Patreon. If you like the work we do over here at the Strickland, we got a Patreon with multiple tiers. I believe it's a $3, $6, $9 tier, and then escalating tiers above that. You'll get access to our Discord, merchandise, sales. Yeah, discounts on merchandise is what I meant to say. You got my football podcast, Strickland NFL, in the $9 tier, in addition to a bunch of other stuff from a lot of other guys like Schwinn, Zach, Doug, Prez, everybody over there. So check that out if you enjoy what we do. Getting into comments, where do we start? I don't really want to start off with nothing negative. Jordan Bubb, our guy Jordan Bubb, always here post game. Dante in Miami, 31 points, 11 of 21 shooting, 6 of 15 from 3, 4 steals. I didn't even realize the 4 steals. Massive game from him. The defense, something we didn't even talk about, just continues to be great on defense. Especially in that rover kind of role, just playing the passing lanes and whatnot.
Yep.
Man, just love it. Jalen Brunson, bring more of your friends over here, please.
It's more... funny because Bridges, like, obviously Bridges, the jokes have been writing themselves, but like, man, it's like he went to Brooklyn and people make fun of Brooklyn because Bridges has, you know, seemingly been underwhelming, but I do think it was a decent bet to see if Bridges could make the leap from, you know, super role player to actual star. It seems like they didn't win the bet.
They didn't cash out on that.
Right, exactly. But I think that they have to, you know, that doesn't mean Bridges isn't able to be a super role player. You know, he can slide right back into that role, and man, he would just fit so good on the Knicks. He would just be such a good fit. And so I'll be curious to see if Brooklyn looks to, you know, get something back after, you know, you can't just keep Bridges around, right? I mean, you can, but
you got to change the structure of the team if you bring him back.
Right. Exactly.
From Walt Clyde Frazier, nothing like a brutal loss to wipe away the memory of two brutal losses. I'd probably already be over this if it wasn't against the Heat. I mean, it's been a tough, a week? The last three games, so a day break in between each game,
it's been about a week.
But look, still a 5 seed right now. You match up with the Magic, who are the 4 seed. They have the tiebreaker over us. But at the end of the day, like we said, like we prefaced, nothing matters, man, unless OG and Randall are playing in the playoffs. So toss my hands up. It is what it is.
I do think that against Orlando specifically, like, I feel like they could win a playoff series. I think they could win a series against Orlando even without Randall and OG. I'm not saying they'd be favorites, or maybe they would be favorites, but I'm not saying they'd be 100%. Of course, I'm not saying that. But I do think that they could win a series as constructed against Orlando. Orlando's playoff offense projects to be pretty rough.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't disagree. It's just like I don't feel good going into that series.
Oh yeah, no, I wouldn't feel good either. I agree with that, of course. And I would feel really good if OG and Randall. And this is like why the whole media thing sucks. Bro, so
just
hard.
Give me OG, man. Just OG. I'm fine with it. Like, it's frustrating.
I do feel like OG is pretty likely to come back based on the reports.
Yeah. From Kev Love X. I'm sorry to disappoint you right here. Yeah. None of the Holy Trinity, according to you, Sam, Tyrese, and Schwinn are here for this. It's just me and Jeff. You're going to have to deal. Sorry, bud.
This is an appropriate post game because the letdowns continue in Knicks verse.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So this is what Tib said. Thank you, Jordan Buff, for putting this up here. Tib said repeatedly, he's getting fouled. I'm not going to continue. But yeah, I mean, he is getting fouled. I don't think he got hoed on any calls today. Like, I thought there was one time where he got fouled on a three-pointer, but I only got upset at that call because I think it's the same call that Rozier got in the corner. So that's the only complaint that I
have. Oh, yeah, when Brunson got – I can picture what you're talking about. Yeah.
It was, like, right on
the – I mean, he shot 10 free throws, dude. Like, I hate this so much. I hate how every single – like, I get it. I get every fan base does this, but fuck, man. He shot 10 free throws. Who fucking cares? Like, can we just talk about basketball? Like, is this really what it's going to be? Is Brunson – she shot 20 free throws? I just don't get it. Like, yes, he should have shot more free throws than he should have probably because the refs didn't get every single call right. That's probably true. Great. He's the only one in the entire NBA. I just don't get it. I just don't understand. Like, I don't operate that way. I would just rather talk about basketball than literally anything else. Like, let's just talk about let's talk about Josh Hart's recent Google searches on his goggles or whatever. Yeah.
there's so many comments to go from here. Which one is all right? Let's pick this one. Let's get toxic over here. We're in danger of being bounced in the first round because OG didn't want to play in the regular season. Then he's going to get 35 to 40 mil in the offseason.
You know, this is an interesting comment to me because I've seen the tide kind of turning on OG on the timeline.
In real time, it's interesting.
I can't get behind it because I'm obviously super high on what he can do when he's healthy. And we also don't have all the information, obviously. But I got to say, I kind of understand Knicks fans' perspective, like, or at least frustration. And this is where I was going. Like, the media situation does not help matters here. If there was any, like, the Knicks don't help themselves at all here. If there was any open dialogue at all between the franchise and the media, fans, like, the whole point of, like, people think that, like, media members are popular because people, like reading their articles and shit. No, it's, like, for the most part, sports media is popular because people want to feel closer to the team that they love. That's what it is. Like, I'm sorry, apologies to, you know who is a good writer is Fred Cass. Like, I actually do enjoy reading Fred's writing, like, whatever. But for the most part, these writers are like, we're trying to feel closer to the team we love. And the Knicks basically just built a wall and don't let it. And so it's like, yeah, if I was a Knicks fan and I had no access to the team because the team doesn't let me have access, and this OG thing was driving me nuts, I would be like, who knows what kind of takes I could dream up, but I'm sympathetic to this for sure.
Yeah. What else?
To be clear, by the way, I am sympathetic to this. They have to give OG Anunoby whatever he wants in the offseason. It would be a disaster if he went somewhere else. So,
And essentially, if you don't give him what he wants, you've pissed away Emmanuel Quickley and RJ Barrett. That's essentially what it is. You would have, like, what? I haven't seen the numbers, but minimal cap space just because you didn't pay OG, like,
right? None. It's lose OG for nothing or keep him. He has them bent over a barrel, and they gave up assets to get him. They can't.
Can I ask people why we're panicking about the OG contract when we had Jalen Brunson, who's represented by Leon Rose's son, sign here for a favorable deal? on a descending contract, and OG Anunoby's agent is Leon Rose's son, and they'll probably find some way to work in a favorable stipulation in the Knicks' favor while giving OG as much money as he could get. Like, relax. To quote Mitch Robinson, relax, Berman, relax, relax. It's like, it's not a situation where the sky's falling.
Yeah.
Nafimul Huda says, team is a six seed or a playing team without Randall and OG. Hard to not be when, if the Bucks had no Brook and no Dame for the last 30 games, would they be the two seed? No. Like, Giannis can go out there and put up 50, 20, and 30 if he wants to, and they probably still won't win games. I'm exaggerating, but, like, come on. If Denver didn't have Jamal Murray and pick whatever, Aaron
Michael,
Gordon.
Michael Porter Jr., Aaron Gordon.
Yeah.
Or like Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. I mean, the Nuggets are – let's leave the Nuggets out of this. Jokic isn't Brunson. Like, let's – like, remember, we got to find some – like, teams with, you know, a player in Brunson's tier and – yeah, you get rid of their second and third best player. Jokic is just like the worst example. He could find wins out of everything. But yeah, I mean,
so like the Kings,
right, if De'Aaron Fox had no Sabonis, De'Aaron Fox had no Sabonis and no Keegan Murray, you know, like exactly. They're fucked. They'd be awful. We saw it forever. The kid. Mm-hmm. I mean, Fox has made a huge leap. I'm not acting like De'Aaron Fox today is the same player as he was 3 years ago, but the Kings, you know, they had to build talent around Fox for them to be, you know, for them to make the playoffs last year. And then looks like they're, you know, hovering around the plane. This is not me talking crap about Sacramento. The West is an absolute gauntlet. Sacramento deserves to be a playoff team. Yeah, I'm just saying that in order for them to get to this place where they're consistently a playoff team, they needed to build around him. That's okay. Like, the league is super deep with talent. Man, the timeline is crazy right now with Heat Knicks stuff. The Heat fans are hilarious. Like,
are they still chirping at me?
Yeah, what is this, man? Like, I don't understand. Do they have any idea how shorthanded? I guess the Heat didn't have Tyler Hero, so that's something, I guess. They weren't.
Dude,
they
were, I had somebody like who replied to me. Say like, oh, we didn't have Tyler Hero, and then I was like, legitimately responding, I was like, what is more valuable, Tyler Hero or OG Anunoby and Julius Randle? And then they responded to me with Randle's playoff stats, and I was like, oh, thank you so fucking much. I forgot today was a playoff game. I really appreciate that, bro.
You, like, should just respond with that GIF of the goalpost shifting. When people shift the goalpost that hard, that's how you know you have them. Just gotta
it's not. It's a point where you stop responding.
Right. Exactly. It's just a waste of time.
What else do we want to throw up over here? Bam.
That's actually a pretty big compliment to Brunson, by the way. Like, if Brunson could get this team to a six seed, or like a compliment to like Brunson and Tibbs and the team defense, if this team could be a six seed without two of its three best and highest paid players, that's pretty sick.
I mean, that's also like a big feather in Tibbs' cap, in my opinion, right, too. Like, I mean, I don't think people just register how shit out of luck we are right now. Like, we're up the creek without a paddle. We got one paddle, and it's Jalen Brunson. Like, we're rowing from one side of the boat trying to go forward.
And remember, Khan, they're not only are they without OG and Randall, but whatever is happening with Mitch and Hardenstein has them limited. Like, we close with Precious Achiuwa tonight.
Yeah.
I promise you, Tibbs does not want to close this game without Isaiah Hardenstein or Mitchell Robinson on the court.
The Hardenstein stuff was interesting to me because I legitimately didn't know if he was hurt or if he wanted to close with Precious. Was there like a report that I missed for Hardenstein?
I think he's I think it has to be a minutes limit. I mean, look at his game log. Has he played more than 20 minutes since he's been back?
What did he play today?
18. Oh, he played 29. Okay, so No, you're actually closer to right. He hasn't played more than 30.
Yeah.
Which he was doing consistently earlier in the season without Mitch. Like, there was that stretch, like, in January, there was a pretty crazy stretch.
Like 44.
Yeah, like, well, just, like, consistently mid to high 30s. 33, 39, 37, 35, 39, 28, 32, 42, 29, 41, 39. And so, yeah, there was that. And then recently it's, you know, tonight, 18, 29, and 29, 28, 19, 24, 26, 26, 25. So honestly, I'm a little bit surprised that he's even played that much. But so 18 does. That's surprising. I'm surprised that Hartenstein wasn't on the court at the end of the game. That's, yeah, that I'm sorry. This isn't very good content, but that this is just. This is completely catching me off guard.
Yeah.
That's wild to me.
I was confused about that because like to what I said earlier, it also takes one of those decision makers out of the equation. Like Precious is not somebody who you can really do like a fake dribble handoff with and let him read the defense and survey for cutters. So,
yeah,
I don't know. Just thought it would have came in handy. And then Bam really kind of lit us up there at the end too. He had like two or three big baskets.
And that putback that could have been
over the.
I'm not sure. It was super close. It might have been good, but
I thought the tip was good, mm-hmm. but I also thought he used Bogey as a launch pad. Like I thought he kind of himself off of Bogey.
Yeah.
The Culture Entertainment says, "How far do we make it if Rand and OG don't return? I say first round exit without OG. Depends if we fall into the plan." I agree. If we don't, I think we match up favorably with whoever we get in that 3-6, 4-5 range, honestly.
You think without Randle and OG, the Knicks beat Cleveland? That would be
– I'm not afraid of Cleveland like one bit.
I don't fear Cleveland either. I think in general what Tibbs does well matches up really well against Cleveland and he'd have a good game plan. Dude, that would be like a franchise-altering loss if the Knicks beat them without Randle or OG. That would just – look, I'm not saying we can't beat them. Of course I'm not saying that. But that would just be – yeah, that would be no good for Cleveland. That would be so bad. Yeah, I don't see why they couldn't beat Cleveland. I'm just a little bit I think they can beat Orlando and they can beat Cleveland. Who else could they get?
Indiana.
And I think they could beat Indiana. Yeah. Yeah. Brunson, and then Tibbs coaching the defense and all these guys, you know, like Deuce and Hart and DiVincenzo and the two centers and Bogey, like they'd probably go to a 7, you know, maybe Burks yeah. gets some run, but it would probably be 7 or 8 man rotation. I do think that would be enough to beat a non-Milwaukee, non-Boston team. And hey, Milwaukee lost to Washington tonight. So it's not like they're world beaters either.
Yeah. I also wonder – well, I don't wonder. The absolute worst outcome, like worse than playing Cleveland, would be a 3-6 matchup where we get Miami. I would just bash my head against the wall repeatedly.
Yeah, that would suck because, you know, you open yourselves up to another
don't say
playoff. And then it's like losing as the higher seed, that would suck. There's no way the full context would be appreciated. It would just be like, oh, we own them, playoff Jimmy. It would just be fucking awful. Yeah, just please no. Just no. But I don't think the Knicks are gonna get it. Cleveland's schedule the rest of the way is too easy. Like their schedule is
do they actually have like a cakewalk?
A total cakewalk.
Damn. All right. Well, I guess 4-5 with Orlando it is then.
Whatever. Yeah. I have it up right now. I'll tell you who they got. So they're crushing Utah tonight. Yeah. Okay, they've got a tough 3-game stretch on the road, but they close the season very, very soft. So they're in Utah tonight, and then they're in Phoenix, and then they get the LA back-to-back. They get the Clippers and the Lakers back-to-back in LA. And then they go home. They've got Memphis, Indiana, and Charlotte all at home to close the season. So,
all right. So, damn. All right. When they come back from out west, that might be the end of the standings race for third.
Yeah. But like, so they're going to be 46 and 30 after tonight. Even if they go 0-3 and they're 46 and 33 headed home, the best the Knicks could. Oh no. Yeah. Okay. So
tiebreaker.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess we shouldn't count the three seed out entirely, but the Knicks schedule the rest of the way is tough. Real tough. I mean, they've got Sacramento at home Thursday, and then it's a 4-game road trip. And yeah, they got Chicago twice. They should, you know, should be able to win at least one of those, but then they're also in Boston. And what's the fourth one? To Chicago, in Boston, and in Milwaukee. Jesus. Yeah.
So yeah. It's essentially, so we got the Kings coming up. You really only worry about the Celtics and the Bucks, because the other three games against the Bulls in a 9-year.
Why would they do that?
That's ridiculous. And then so it goes from here on out. It goes Kings at Chicago, at Milwaukee, at Chicago, at Boston, coming home for the last two games against Brooklyn, against Chicago. So. Yeah. Chicago is probably free wins, given the fact that they have their pick and, you know, they aren't in any races. Actually, are they in the play-in?
They're in the play-in. No, don't say Chicago's probably three wins. That's
all right. Never mind. Sorry. Got to.
They're locked into the play-in. They're locked into the 9 or 10 seed pretty much. It's going to be pretty hard for them to jump up to 8,
mm-hmm.
but, yeah, they're definitely still trying. And Donovan's a good coach, and you know, they're definitely trying to win. So it definitely won't be like easy matchups.
I wanted to talk about one more. Oh, because Sam's not on here. I have anointed myself the parlay sweater for the night.
Oh, nice.
And I just want to say I don't appreciate Keontae George. I had him for over 2 3-pointers. I had Sam Merrill 4 3-pointers and Evan Mobley 4 assists. And my two good brothers, Evan Mobley and Sam Merrill, both hit. And Keontae George is sitting here 1 of 5 from 3. So Keontae George, not a good guy, Keontae George.
And not a parlay respecter?
No, not a pocket respecter, not a money respecter. I'm sure he doesn't come from a great family. No, let me stop.
Jesus, dude. That's deep. Your words cut deep there, Tom.
Oh, yeah, I'm attacking him now. Jeff, this one is for you from Judah Benchar. Jeff, this game wasn't so bad reffing-wise, but the fouls are not just about free throws attempted. It's specifically by Brunson getting mauled. Essentially, different whistle from the refs. What say you, Jeff?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not going to be popular with Knicks fans on this, so I'm just going to – sure. I don't know. I just think that every fan base feels this way, that their best player doesn't get a good whistle. And he shot 10 free throws tonight, and, yeah, like, I know that's – I get it. I want to acknowledge the thrust of your point, which that's not just about the free throw attempts. I don't know. I mean, I can't imagine he's just this outlier who is – only being, or not only, but is being egregiously contacted on non-shooting plays, and only he is being affected in that way. That's just, and then also remember, like, again, we're working from a starting point of the Knicks, by the data, get a hugely favorable whistle. So now we're saying that the refs are giving the Knicks more free throws, but they're doing so strategically in a way that they can mask their mistreatment of Brunson. And like, it's just, there's no logic to me. And that's just so much brain energy spent on something that we don't know is true, and it's just probably filled with so much bias. That's just not how I think, but more power to you. If that just doesn't interest me a ton. And I'm sorry for that, but.
The only part of that I kind of give credence to is specifically with the Heat. I think they draw more off-ball fouls than like any other team that I've watched. For some reason, I don't know if it's because maybe they're rightfully taught to exaggerate contact off the ball or whatever the case may be. I find them getting way more off-ball foul calls. That specifically is like what kind of sets me off with them, because we'll be running down the court and then out of nowhere a whistle blows and you're like, why is Brunson getting his second foul for that?
It's weird too, Con, because they are very physical off the ball
defense.
You watch guys try to get as the offensive player, you know, they're trying to create space around screens, and the Heat players are doing everything they can to not let them get through, to their credit. But this is the thing that's always bothered me, and it bothers me too about playing like a Nick Nurse team. Back when Nick Nurse was coaching Toronto, he coached this way, and he definitely coaches this way in Philly. You can't have it in it. You can't create a paradigm where on one end it's Heat culture, and yeah, they fight really hard and they're gritty, and we're just going to let them play. We're going to let them get away with this kind of contact. And then on the other end, it's like, oh, but Jimmy's so crafty, so skilled. This is how he draws free throws, you know? And like, it's just, I things like that. That's the thing that drives me nuts. Is the inconsistent whistle. And that's the thing that just set me off against the Spurs. Like, I personally, and I'm not saying that my way is right. If someone out there feels differently, I more than respect that. But the way I have always felt is, if the ref's whistle is consistent, that's the only thing that matters to me. If Brunson's taking a ton of contact and we're not shooting a lot of free throws, if the Knicks are allowed to beat the shit out of whoever the best offensive player on the other end of the court, hey, like, more power to the refs. Like, they're holding their whistles and letting a physical game happen. At least that's fair. The Spurs game was not fair. It was Brunson getting the shit kicked out of him, and then Wemby couldn't stand on his 2 feet to establish post position. He got to shoot free throws because of it. Like, and I don't mean that as hating on Wemby. Wemby's an amazing player, but that was an insane game to watch. And oh my God, Wemby just had an outrageous block. Nuggets and Spurs are tied with 40 seconds left, and Wemby just ended Reggie Jackson's life with a block.
I also put a Wemby parlay in today.
Nice. Was it game-changing blocks over half because he just hit the over?
I'll tell you exactly what it was right now. I don't know if I don't know what the progress is on it, because I haven't given a shit about anything besides like us really, like, in my opinion, not playing the Heat tonight. Mm-hmm. It was over 25 points, over 11 boards, over 5 assists, over 4 blocks.
Okay, well, he has 9 blocks, Con. So so he hit the over on the blocks. But just to close the thread on Judah's point, you know, like, there could be validity to that point. That's just not stuff I focus on. The most important thing to me is the whistle fair and consistent? And, like, I do think that the Heat create a bit of a double standard with the whistle, because they're a very physical defense. And then they, on the other end, hunt whistles. You know, Butler's really good at it. Butler's like, people hate this, but Butler's kind of like Brunson. He's, you know, he jumps backwards on certain jump shots. He's holds his arms out looking for contact. That's what smart, crafty guys do. And I do think that can be frustrating watching specifically the Heat. But for the most part, I don't see it. I don't see, like, the Knicks just out there getting shafted. And, like, I don't know. People are saying this after the Thunder game. Like, that was all people were talking about after the Thunder game, is the refs. And, like, yes, that one non-and-one, I guess. I don't know. I texted – was it UConn? I don't know who I texted. It was either you or Luca. If they gave that and-one call to a team playing the Knicks, Knicks fans would have lost their fucking minds. They would have been like, that didn't have anything to do with the play. It was way after it. How can you call a foul there in that spot with 3 seconds left? And instead of focusing on the fact that Shea hit a ridiculous baseline shot when the Knicks were up one with 2 seconds left, it was all, oh, it's us against the refs, despite the fact that we shot 10 more free throws than the Thunder in a game we lost by. That's not me. That's never going to be me. And so I'm sorry about that to people who are watching this, because I know this is a Knicks show, and I'm probably not the best, you know, Knicks mascot.
Jeff, you're not part of the big three of Sam, Tyron, and Tyrese. And
that is a good big three. Props to that.
It is. You just referenced him. Luca says best hit Tibbs post game of his career. This is getting a lot of hype. I'm going to have to go back and watch that that clip.
All he says is it was you quoted it earlier. Jordan, I think, quoted what he said.
He's getting fouled.
Repeated. Yeah, that's literally all he said, and then he walked off.
Another one from Judah Benchar. I seriously wish we'd have Draymond just to clothesline Bam. I am not going to leave that up for too long because it's a little graphic. But it is – dude, it's fucking annoying, man. Like, the storyline was, who is Bam going to hurt today? And what was it, first or early second quarter, he just levels Dante? And I'm gonna be so totally honest. I think the one with Brunson at the end was a legitimate accident. Like, people were getting on him for that one because, like, it's Brunson and they're protective. Dude, mm-hmm. Brunson was behind him. Like, he has no clue Brunson is behind him going to pick up that ball. That was an accident. But the Dante one, he lost the ball already, and he just clearly follows through. He even kind of, like, I thought he turned his body so that he didn't get him with, like, forearm or nothing, and he got him more with, like, shoulder or kind of elbow. Like, I thought that play was one of the dirtiest plays that he's made against us. I thought that was clearly a shot, like, worse than when he fell on Quick's ankle. I thought the one today was brutal. What do you, like, I don't know, what do you think about that?
I mean, I would never apply malicious intent to someone I don't know, again, but, like, that looked terrible. And the thing I'll say is, like, yes, individually, all of these events can be incidental contact. But at a certain point, it can't just be incidental if it happens six times. Like, I don't get how it keeps happening. It's just crazy. Like, maybe he's the unluckiest person to ever live. I will say, and this has little to do with, you know, calling Bam Adebayo dirty or whatever, there was this guy live blogging, rewatching game six of last year's playoffs on the timeline. I have no idea who he is. Don't follow him or anything. It was just, he was live blogging the Heat Knicks game six last year. And he went on, like, a multi-spree rant about how Quickly hasn't shown up and how Quickly sucks. And, like, he's like, I haven't even noticed him in this game. And then this other guy popped in and was like, yeah, Quickly's the most overrated player in the league, legit playoff dropper. And I forget who it was, but it was somebody who I followed who popped in and was like, guys, he was hurt. Like, what are you talking? It was just one of the funniest things I've ever seen. Like, that was crazy to me. But yeah, I mean, Bam.
It was probably our own fans calling him overrated. And then it was somebody else from another fan base saying he's not playing.
No, it was definitely Knicks fans who were, like, originally interacting. They were both Knicks fans. I checked on that. Okay. Yeah, it was so funny. But regarding Bam, I don't know. I mean, I do agree with you that the DiVincenzo did not look good. And sure, it could be incidental, but I don't. Dude,
like, if it's not incidental, Bam will get what he deserves.
Like, Randall last year was incidental. Quickly was incidental. Grimes was incidental. Like,
a couple years ago, Giannis was incidental. Like,
and the thing is,
that was incidental too. Like, all right.
And the thing is, Colin, I don't think there would be extremists who talked about it. For the most part, I don't think Knicks fans would even talk about it. But all the Heat fan do is talk about Josh Hart. That's it. Because it's all they talk about is, like, they only talk about how Josh Hart hurt Jimmy Butler on a play where a foul baiter was trying to draw contact. Newsflash, there are going to be consequences. In fact, I went on a rant to my dad about it the other night about how I get fucking terrified watching Jalen Brunson because he's by far our most important player. And, like, all these times when he, like, jumps back into a defender, I'm just terrified he's going to land on somebody's foot or something. Like, please stop drawing contact so much. Just go straight up sometimes. It's okay. Like, we need you long term. But anyways, Butler was trying to draw contact, leaned into Hart unnaturally, spread it. Like, it was just crazy. And okay, yeah, he got hurt. Clearly Josh Hart didn't mean to hurt him. But okay, you have a guy who has now hurt six Knicks in a year. So either we can all agree that shit happens and probably unintentional, or we can say, which player has hurt way more of the other team's players and think logically and logically criticize one of the players. You don't get to only talk about Josh Hart and then be like, but our guy's legit Heat culture. We play so hard. It's like, what the fuck, man?
Also, the way that he the injuries have transpired, diving for a loose ball, Randall's in the air. He slides his foot under him, sprains the ankle. And then today, with the ball being loose and already being picked up by a Heat player, and then he hits Dante in the face. Like, those are prime opportunities where, like, if the thought crossed his mind, he could act on it to try and you know, take a cheap shot.
Yeah.
Whereas Josh Hart is locked in. He's trying to play defense. He bites on a fake, and that's what causes the injury. These are three very, very different situations going on over here. Like, it doesn't – If you did as much as passing high school and getting your diploma, you can recognize like the difference in these patterns. Like,
you just see this type of projection all the time and not just in sports debates. And it's the most annoying thing. It's like there's nothing more annoying than when people constantly bring up something that you would never even talk about. And it's like, but wait a second, you're actually doing that thing worse. So you're like, it's like they think if they keep talking about it, people will forget or ignore that they're actually the ones doing the thing that they're criticizing other people for doing. And it's just, stupid rant, but shit's
I'm going to jump past some of these other comments because this one broke my heart. Did you see the Wemby line that Luka just talked about?
Holy shit, man, he's good.
No, you don't get it, Jeff. My parlay missed by 2 points.
Oh, Jesus. What was the price you got?
I think it was 5 to win 100, somewhere along those lines. Damn it. Hey,
get him next time.
I had to get the rough beat like Sam did. Whatever.
Yeah, Sam's had it rough.
Judah says, who's going to be the guy to give him what he deserves? I'll fucking step up. I'll step up. I'm going to be the father who stepped up. I'm not.
People have no idea, Com, what you're capable of in a phone booth. They don't know. They don't know, dude. Like,
oh my God.
Bam Adebayo might be better at fighting than you in general, but in a phone booth, you can take him one-on-one.
Oh my God. I feel like every time that comes up, I have to like explain the backstory.
It's fine.
We can leave it. For the most part, I think we're pretty much caught up.
Since you know we haven't talked football in a while,
yeah.
Do you know that Broncos Nation wants to draft Bo Nix?
Fucking stop! Or and hopefully in like the third round.
No, they want to take him in the first round. They're like, if we can't get the big four, should we trade up and take him in the first round? I'm like, I don't know. Is it going any better for Giants fans? Who are the Giants? Are the Giants going to draft?
So I'll just tell you, like, from all the puzzle pieces of reports and stuff like that, I'll be shocked if it's not Neighbors. To me,
don't you want that Joe Alt guy?
Oh, I love Joe Alt, but no, like it would be such a bad usage of assets to have Evan Neal and then sign an insurance policy for Evan Neal and then draft the new starter anyway. It's just like tripling down on one position. And you're just like, okay, what the hell?
Yeah.
But I do think there's a tackle from Houston I like a lot. His name is Patrick Paul. Not really sure on where he lands in terms of day one, day two, day three. But I do like him a lot. If Joe Schoen sneaks that pick in, I'll be a little, you know, I'll be a little happy. But I think we're going Neighbors. And the only caveat to that would be if we trade up for May or JJ. I don't think there's going to be a quarterback at 6 that I'm okay with taking there. If JJ was there, I'd be cool with it. If May was there, I'd run up and submit the card myself and, you know, forget what Joe Schoen has to say. But I think if I had to put odds, I think it's like a 60% chance we get Neighbors, and then probably like 20-20 between May and JJ.
Nice. Good shit.
Yeah.
Good shit. What do you think of the Knicks' chances Thursday against the Kings?
Not going to get my hopes up because we just beat them. So.
With OG, though.
We beat them with OG.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So.
So you're saying, like, hard to beat them twice?
Especially without OG, yeah. Like, and they're going to be, besides Monk, they're fully healthy, even though Monk's a big loss. So don't get me wrong on that.
That's one of my, like, that's one of those things that's always driven me nuts. Like, if you're a college basketball fan, you hear it all the time during the conference tournaments. Like, uh-oh, this team's 2-0 against this team. Hardest thing to do in college basketball is beat a team three times. As if it's a bad thing that you're 2-0 against this team. Like, because you just can't, like, wait, what are you, what? this team is going to be extra motivated this time because they went 0-2. And it's like,
yeah, they're going to go so much harder this time, Jeff.
Yeah. The reason it's hard to beat a team three times is because it's hard to play a team three times in a season where you only play them twice. And then it's really hard to go 2-0. Like, it's just, oh my God. It's one of those dumb logic things. Or like the Mike McCarthy thing. Remember that McCarthy stat? Like when
With you running the ball?
Yeah. He was like, teams win 95% of the time when they run the ball 20 times in the second half. So we're going to try to run he said that. And it's like, well, why the fuck do you, like, what do you, it's confusing causation for stuff, like,
that stuff just really grinds my gears because it's like, so if I magically run the ball 20 straight times to open the half, I should anticipate a victory.
Yeah, you have a higher chance of winning because apparently it just goes up to 95%, Con.
And then they'll be like, oh, no, you know, but like, you know, you got to mix up your play calling and whatnot. And then, you know, they're going to be like, oh, well, you know, and then we're not going to call a run if it's 3rd and 12. And I'll be like, okay, so 1st and 15 off of a penalty, like, I should still call a run though, right? No, like, shut up, man. Come on.
You just got to get to 20. You know,
you know what it is? We got to feed Zeke. We got to feed Zeke.
this is gonna sound stupid because they just had a bad playoff loss last year. I actually feel like McCarthy's this quote from him was like 10 years ago, and that 2014 NFC Championship game is one of the worst things I've ever seen. I actually don't hate what he's done in Dallas. I don't think he's been that bad in Dallas.
But I think Micah Parsons escapes a lot of slander. A lot of slander.
You think, like, he deserves slander for that loss? Was he not in that game?
People don't, like, attribute how much of a – not a black hole, but, like, when you play the Cowboys in the playoffs, a lot of times a team's best advantage is attacking Micah Parsons in the run.
Interesting.
And when you attack him in the run, it's going to slow down just pretty much his whole processing as an edge rusher, because when you're coming off the line, right, you're anticipating run because you're more conscious of the fact that you're getting beat in the run. Mm-hmm. And then from there, we talk a lot about runways for guys and getting speed to power. That for only like the 3-4 guys or the smaller 4-3 DNs, the speed to power is a big thing. And you need your runway for that because your runway gets you into, you know, getting your stab or an inside move, et cetera. And when that happens in the run game for him, it really messes up how he can sequence his moves and stuff. So, and then in addition to that, he has short arms. So, yeah.
That's funny. You just unintentionally quoted The Office. was Von Miller good in the run, like prime Von Miller?
Yeah.
So that's like the big difference, is like Von knew how to balance being an elite pass rusher on the edge with being good, with being helpful in the run game.
Yeah, I would say that. And also, like, Micah's chest plate is not hard to win because of it, because he has small arms and because he's just like not really a really wide built guy. Like Micah's special because he can forklift you, but if you're cutting down that space, it's hard for him to do that. And then when he's getting his game off and he can forklift you, then you're worried about going inside and coming back out, spin moves, all that stuff. So it just like it's maybe this would be a good film breakdown. Who knows? But
yeah,
that's a big reason of why the Niners always kind of throw the first punch against the Cowboys. They always get them reeling, and it's because when you're playing the Niners, like, first of all, Kyle Shanahan is going to know your weak spot. He just is. He's a great coach. And the Niners are one of, you know, the nastiest teams in the league. So when you have a guy who they know they got to run at and they're going to run at you hard, it's a tough combo.
Good shit, Con. Good strictly NFL preview there. Good work.
I feel like in the offseason, man, I talk more strictly NFL on here than I do in the episodes. yeah, Laika Parsons. That's damn right, Luca. Brian Burns. Not better, but we'll save that for later. I don't think.
I mean, we know Thibodeau is better in a phone booth. So
yes, Thibodeau is better in a phone booth than anybody. Honestly,
anybody in the world, including Myles Garrett.
Yes, that's the joke for those who don't know. I said that like right after Kayvon got like I think 2 sacks in the game this year, and then I texted it to Jeff.
It was the Carolina game, right? Or, God, who was it? It was
one of those.
Against the Jets, maybe? Oh, no. Maybe it was the Commanders when they beat the Commanders at home.
I got to stop buying into the fucking Commanders wins, bro. Ugh, Jesus Christ.
Dude, it's too bad you weren't on these post games more. There was nothing funnier early in the season than – like the Giants winning, like that Giants win against Washington, and then when they won 2 in a row against Washington, New England, Patriots. Or maybe they won 3 in a row. Yeah, they beat Green Bay too. I think
Packers. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And Tyrese is on here like crying. He was losing his shit.
Don't.
Oh, poor guy.
Bro, if we lost to the Patriots and lost to the Packers, Drake May is like in a Giants uniform already.
This is I've never seen an NFL like this. Like, this is so weird. Like, there's so few spots for, like, Justin Fields can't get a starting job right now. That's fucking bananas to me. I know I'm higher on Fields than most, but
it's different if like he can't get a starting job because the Bears are holding him hostage. Like, they traded him for a 6th round pick. They wanted him to get out of the facility. So,
yeah, no, it's just weird. Like, I just feel like who are the teams to you that are going to be taking quarterbacks early in this draft? Like, I guess the Commanders.
Yeah, it's the top three, and then Minnesota slotting in somewhere.
Okay.
That's what I believe right now.
Oh, and New England, of course, New England.
Yeah.
All right.
Judah, I hope you're a medical professional when you say this. I think Randall's back in a few games. Because if not, I'm coming for you, bro.
I feel very confident that OG is going to be back before the end of the regular season. And, like, I think if OG comes back, he'll be good to go. Like, they're not going to, like, they're waiting until he's not going to miss any more games. I think he's going to come back.
That was that Woj report, right?
Yeah. So if we can accept that, or if we can, not like it's a fact, but like assuming OG does come back, if Judah's right about this, that would be, watch out. Like, the Knicks are going to be tough if they can be healthy.
Yeah. I thought this was like legitimately funny. This Josh Hart quote about Butler. Josh Hart is so fucking hilarious, bro.
Like, I'm such a buzzkill though. Like, I agree, it's funny. But, like, have you actually looked at Jimmy Butler's data? Like, I feel like Jimmy Butler is simultaneously the most underrated player and the most overrated player in the world. Because why do people not understand that he's had, like, top 5 regular seasons the last 2 seasons? Or, like, the two of the last 3 seasons or something. He's been amazing in the regular season. Not this season, but the 2 of the 3 seasons before this as a Miami Heat player. He's been incredible. He was, like, if you look at EPM – I'm pretty sure he was top three in EPM one of the last two seasons. And then everybody was like, dude, he was fifth in EPM last season. Last season, when they were he literally dragged Miami and they barely got the eighth seed or whatever because they lost the first play-in game. He's top five.
Can you check what he was in 2022?
Mm-hmm. Because they were the one seed, so he must have been good that year too.
That's what I was thinking.
He was 15th. So, still. Okay. So yeah. Fifth and then 15th. And then the year before that was, I think, he was sixth. Sixth in 2021. And then 2020 was the bubble season where they made the finals. And Butler, that was his first year. And Butler was 11th. So the last four seasons in Miami, wow, he's been fifth, sixth, 11th, and 15th in EPM. And people are like, oh, this guy just takes the regular season off and then he's playoff Pimmy in the playoffs. It's like, dude, shut the fuck up. He's a really good basketball player. Why are we doing this to him? Why are we pretending like he just like takes a shit on the regular season, doesn't try, and then just magically shows up in the playoffs? The dude is an all NBA level player every single season. He's a no doubt Hall of Famer. Not because he just wakes up and becomes a fucking genie in the playoffs. No, he's a Hall of Famer because he's an amazing player in the regular season too. It's like, I hate that it fucking pisses me off when I see this stuff. And if I was a Heat fan, it would piss me off too, because like I would watch every game and be like, dude, what the fuck are we talking about here? He's amazing. He needs more help, if anything.
You know what it is? It's because he plays into it. Like, maybe. When he, because I last year he had the video where he was working out in the in a gym,
mm-hmm,
and he was like, you know, this is like when the season starts, or like some shit like that, like some flipping the switch type of quote. And then they made the run to like get into the play-in or to stay in the play-in because they were hurt for a long time. And then he mm-hmm went, and then they had the game against the Bulls, which nobody wants to acknowledge. How close they were to just not being in the fucking playoffs.
Dude, forget that. Do people not even understand? Like, he was a god in that Bucks series. Like, that's where really the conversation really took off.
Yeah. He did it against Drew Holiday too.
Yeah, yeah, no, he did. He was amazing. He was not the best player in the Knicks, Celtics, or Nuggets series. And this is not me hating. I literally just spent 5 minutes talking about how good Jimmy Butler is. Just objectively, he was just not the best player in any of those three series. And people, I'm sure he found, would be like, oh, because he got hurt, Josh Hart, yada, yada, whatever. I'm not saying he's not a great playoff player. He is a great playoff player. What I am pushing back against is this idea that he just like sits out in the regular season and then he rises like Jesus himself in the playoffs. No, he's just really fucking good all the time. Like, can we finally start respecting Jimmy Butler in a proper way, please?
Bro, Heat fans are still fucking lighting me up, dude. Shut the fuck up, man. Holy shit. 23 replies and 17 quotes. Don't you guys have fucking work tomorrow, bro? Go to bed. Says bro is making injury excuses like the Heat haven't had 35 different lineups this year. Bro, I know you're not on this live stream right now, but I don't give a fuck what you have to say. I'm sorry. You got Bam, you got Terry, you got Jimmy, you got your three best players. We're missing two of our three best players. Fuck off, man. I'm starting to get like actually angry.
I mean, did you not mute the thread? Just mute the thread.
No, I did, but then I also like had like the devil on my shoulder that was like, open up the tweet.
Yeah, it's one of those young people things. I lost that devil a long time ago. I mute the stuff that I know is going to get engagement. And I just peace the fuck out of there. I'm just like, all right, all the best, folks. Y'all can argue with yourselves.
Hey, Judah, I promise I'm a laughing dog. I hope to God you're right. And matter of fact, I'll do my cross on here too. I hope you're right. Heat fans dragged regular season shit. Yeah, they play a huge part.
It's weird. That would just piss me off so much.
The Heat fans.
If I was Butler, I would be pissed off. Like, he should be getting all NBA honors and shit. He's amazing.
It's funny. I say that. I do realize like people don't bring him up because they just like yeah, he's probably like not doing anything and they don't like check.
Yeah, like, he's never in these conversations. Like, it's insane, man. He's so good. He actually wasn't that good tonight, but it didn't matter for the Heat because Terry Rozier decided to hit every single shot. But Butler's amazing, also, and I feel like it's such a disservice to him. Or maybe not. Maybe it helps his overall image to be seen as this, like, Jordan-esque playoff goat. I don't know. But He definitely was against Milwaukee, and he definitely was, like, superhuman in some of those games in the bubble. Like, some of that meme where he is, like, exhausted isn't a meme for nothing. He was amazing. That game five when the Lakers were up 3-1 and they wore the Kobe jerseys to honor Kobe because they wanted to win a championship with the Kobe jerseys on. And Butler just absolutely single-handedly kept Miami in that series. That was incredible. So, yes, I'm not saying he hasn't had playoff moments. He's had a ton of elite playoff moments. I'm just saying he's a really fucking good regular season player too.
Bro, we need to take away the fucking Draymond video from Schwinn. Have you seen the Draymond video he tweets?
Is it the one where the Draymond just like tackles people or whatever?
It's like the fight compilation.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
he just tweets, fuck insert random person or thing, and then tweets the Draymond video.
Yeah. Oh my God. Schwinn's in his bag. I bet his team won his playoff scrimmage.
Oh, you know, Sam actually hit a $500 parlay today. Congrats, right, Sam. Congrats. I'm not hating on you from outside the club. Fucking bitch.
Won a parlay, probably lying in his bed with his wife.
Yeah.
Can't be bothered to come on here and talk hoops with us though, you know.
Nope. You guys do the rough game. It's all right.
Yeah. We gotta come on here and talk about how for the fifth straight game, Jalen Brunson didn't shoot enough free throws.
No, actually, okay. Last point, and I think we can get out of here. Actually, we have to get out of here in like 10 minutes because I have to pick up my sister. But nice. I had somebody legitimately bring up in conversation that Jalen Brunson was the reason we lost today.
Oh, God.
And I was like, you know, he had lineups with like two centers and Josh Hart again. And then the response I got for that was he can influence the game more than anybody on the court. And I was like, are you fucking serious, bro?
Have you ever seen one of those Emmanuel Acho rants? You know who I'm talking about?
I've seen it like, yeah, like I've seen him rant about like when people don't give Tua his props and stuff like that. Like, is that?
Sometimes it's not even about sports. And I'm never talking about Tua with you ever again, so don't bring him up.
Well, yeah, after I was right about him.
Yeah, so right. No, he is just the master of saying lots of things across a long period of time, but actually saying nothing. Like his words don't ever mean anything. He's just saying lots of words that don't actually have a point to them or even any connectivity to them. That's what that tweet is. That tweet just means nothing. It's just, why did he click submit? Just do anything else with your time. It's just like that guy the other night who tweeted after the Brunson game in San Antonio.
Oh, he didn't pass enough?
Yeah, he didn't pass enough then. And then what happened in the OKC game? I saw something else. Oh, after the OKC game, I saw somebody tweet that Cam Thomas has a higher ceiling than Brunson. It's like,
I had to quote tweet that guy. That was fucking atrocious.
Yeah, I didn't realize Brunson was so good at bringing out just like the absolute AIDS-iest takes ever. But three straight nights, I guess. Here we are. But yeah, we definitely lost this game because Brunson, the only person who could create a shot, was asked to actually operate inside a phone booth.
Can I hit you with another? I just remember this part of the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
He brought up plus minus and said Brunson was a minus -9 and Hart was a minus -5. I'm sure we lost this game because of Josh Hart.
Yeah, single game plus minus tells the whole story. Man, what's up with the Clippers? They suck.
They don't care as well.
You think that's what it is?
Like, they look like they don't care. Well, I'm not, yeah. I'm not, you know, a Clippers expert, but to me, it doesn't seem like they care.
Yeah. I guess they just think that, like, Kawhi's not playing tonight either. So that's probably no good. Man, I got a weird one for you. The Mavericks are down 6 right now, and both Kyrie and Luka have positive plus minuses. So, like, when are the minutes they're losing? What are they really playing minutes with neither Kyrie or Luka on the court?
That's such a Tibbs thing to do. And Luka has 28, 7, and 7 going into the fourth quarter, and they're down 6.
Yeah. But Chris Paul, the point god, plus 12. Since we're focusing on single game plus minus, you know, since that tells the whole story.
I mean, Derek Jones Jr., what are we doing? Minus 15? him and then, dude, Trayce Jackson-Davis is a player.
I thought, am I crazy or did I not see the Mavericks cut Dwight Powell?
No, that never happened.
Man, I could have sworn, and that's weird. I could have sworn.
Dude, Dwight Powell is like, he's up there with Dirk, bro.
Oh, you know what? You know what it must have been? It must have been one of those stupid ass April Fool's posts. from a Mavericks fan who like wants him to be cut, you know?
Yeah.
Dude, those things. Don't even get me started.
It was a tweet from like Luka Doncic season.
Yeah, probably. It was probably something like that. Those were not fun. That was not fun.
Or like Jaden Hardy burner.
Oh god, Jaden Harden Hardy Birdie. That's good, Con. That's a good place to end. There can't still be people watching this, right? Like, come on.
Actually, we just got like 5 comments in like the last minute, but they're all engaging.
That's so cool.
Yeah, thanks for putting up with our fucking dumbass talks going on right now, guys. Judah, I'll reply right now. He asked for my handle on Twitter. I can't leave the guy.
Nice. Anything for another follower.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You should follow Khan. Khan's one of the good ones.
I appreciate that. Also, you're probably going to get more football out of me than basketball, but like I do, obviously, like I had all basketball tweets tonight. It's just egregious night to whatever. I hate.
And if the response to his tweets tonight are any indication, he's not very good at tweeting about basketball anyway.
Oh, so. Dude, no. If you want to have fun, scroll through the replies to my tweet to the Heat. Oh, Jesus Christ. Also, I did the Strickland's live tweets tonight, so if you guys like them, let me know. If you didn't like them, keep that thought to yourself, asshole. Nah, I'm just kidding. But I do think we're going to get out of here now. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Don't trip off too much of this game. And we'll see you after the Kings. Thursday?
Right? Yes, sir. Thursday and then Friday.
All right. Oh, Jesus. Back to back. Christ. All right. All right. Bye, everybody.